Well, it's a privilege for me to have the opportunity to speak at the funeral service of my pastor and colleague, mentor, teacher, and friend. And Steve, thank you for the privilege of doing this. I've anticipated this moment for quite some time. Dr. Custer's health has been poor for quite some time. And never really thought about what I would speak on, just thinking when that time comes, if the Lord would help me. And so when the time came that I heard on December 20th of this year, 2017, that Pastor Custer was with his Lord, I rejoiced in that news and simply prayed that the Lord would help me to know what to speak on. And to be frank, in a matter of seconds, I knew what to speak on, even though I hadn't decided that ahead of time, opening up to a specific verse of Scripture that I had complete confidence would honor the Lord and be appropriate at this time. As I direct our attention to that text in just a moment and say some things that are kind of half a sermon and half a eulogy, if I do become emotional, I hope I don't. I'm not confident in that, but even any tears that you see aren't tears of sadness, but they're joy, because I'm very thankful that the Lord used Dr. Custer to be a blessing to me, to my wife, and to our family. The Bible says to remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and verse 8. And that's what I'd like to talk about a little bit this morning in memory of Pastor Stuart Custer. In Hebrews 13, 7, the Bible says, remember. It's a good thing to remember. There are many things in life that we remember, and anything in our lives that's good is a gift from God, because the Bible teaches us that. Every good gift cometh down from the Father, right? The Father of lights, who never changes. He's always good. But specifically, this verse is not talking generally about remembering good things. This verse is actually a command. It's an imperative. It's telling us we must call to mind. We must think about not just things, but people. Because for those of you who remember the context of Hebrews and Hebrews 13, the author is talking about specific people. People that were a spiritual blessing to you, but were no longer with you. They had passed away. They had gone to heaven already. These kinds of people. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're remembering Dr. Custer in a way that I think is completely consistent with Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. And the reason that the author of Hebrews wrote this, it was to encourage people. Because again, as many of you know, because you understand Hebrews a little bit, there were people who believed in Jesus Christ. They followed Jesus Christ, but they were doubting and they were struggling. And the author of Hebrews was saying, even if you're doubting, and even if life is hard, and you're wondering if it's worth it to continue to follow Jesus, remember those who went before you. Remember those who believed in Jesus Christ. That's all in that word, remember, that we have here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, Greg, that's in Hebrews. Who do you think wrote that? I've asked Dr. Custer that question. And he said, just as he would, if God wanted us to know, he would have told us. That was the simple faith that he had. But if you know him at all, you know that Pastor Custer had a great intellect, and those with great intellects are intellectually curious. And I said, Dr. Custer, I know we don't need to know who wrote Hebrews, but go ahead and tell me What do you think? And with no hesitation, he said, no doubt it was written by Apollos. That's not hard to figure out. And you can ponder that if you'd like. Okay? It says in Hebrews, remember, not things, but your leaders. See, remember those who led you, people, that you would count your leaders. But the author here is not talking about civic leaders or political leaders, to be sure. Because the verse goes on in Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders. And here's where I want to spend a little time. Those who have spoken God's word to you. A very select group of men that the author of Hebrews was writing to, he wanted these people to remember the previous individuals who put faith in Christ, who believed in Jesus Christ, and spent their lives believing in Jesus Christ, and then passed on believing in Jesus Christ. These were the people who spoke the word of God to you. Stuart Custer was a man who spoke the word of God to many of us. He spoke the word of God to me and my wife from 1986 to 2009, 23 years. He spoke the word of God to us faithfully 3 times a week. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday evening, he would come into either this pulpit, previously in another room, another pulpit, and he would simply take his Bible, some of you know, his red leather-bound old Scofield Bible that he loved, and he would open it up, and he would read it. He would read from the Scriptures. He would explain the Scriptures. He would help us to come to love the Scriptures. And he did that faithfully. He gave sermons that many people would consider plain. He was definitely not a pulpiteer. People would not call him a prized orator at all. His sermon illustrations were seldom and brief. He didn't end with altar calls or great emotional appeals. He never did that. And by God's grace over time, I began to understand that there was a theological reason for that. He was so convinced in the sovereignty of God and in the power of God's word and in the working of the Holy Spirit that Pastor Custer's belief was you simply open up God's word, you read it, you explain it, you close the Bible and sit down, and God's Holy Spirit will work. That's how powerful the word is. That's how powerful the work of the Holy Spirit is in a heart. He did that faithfully, week after week, month after month, year after year, almost without fail. Now, I don't even know how well Steve knows this, but I got along very well, Steve, with your mom. And Mrs. Custer and I, and my wife Nancy as well, all got along very well and would actually speak when Dr. Custer was not around. And she would tip me off to Greg, he's not feeling well this week. It's been a very hard week. And she would let me know the challenges, the physical difficulties that he faced. And she would say, Greg, you may want to be ready to preach this week. And so I would be ready, and Sunday would come, and I would say, Pastor Custer, how are you doing? He would say, oh, I'm fine. And I would say, how did your week go? He would say, oh, the Lord is good. And I would say, is everything going okay? And he would say, oh, it's just fine. And I would simply say again, is there anything I could help you with? He would say, no, the Lord's taking care of everything. I'm fine. And he would go in the pulpit and preach. That was the man who spoke to many of us, God's word. He did that faithfully week after week, month after month, year after year. I don't have a single memory of Pastor Custer coming into the pulpit and sharing what's on his heart. And I don't know if you understand what I mean. Many times a man will come into a pulpit and say, I don't have a message. I just want to share with you what's on my heart. Pastor Custer taught me to never do that. He explained to me, it doesn't matter what's on your heart. The only thing that matters is the Word of God. Study the Bible, open up the Bible, and share it. I don't have a single memory of him coming in the pulpit and commenting on political parties or political candidates, even though he cared deeply about both of those. Even in the middle of an election, he would come into the pulpit, he would open up the Word of God, and he would speak it to us. I don't remember Pastor Custer one time giving us his, from the pulpit, his personal views on dress, his thoughts on entertainment, or controversial items like Bible translations. Never. Not from the pulpit. From the pulpit, he would simply open up God's Word and preach to us the Scriptures and point us to Jesus Christ. I can remember as a graduate student many years ago, I was employed in the Bob Jones University Library. Dr. Custer was still teaching there. And it was my job to read articles and to watch videos and to write abstracts so that various items could be cataloged. And I was assigned a group of items to review. There were three video tapes that were published by a Christian university that taught that Pastor Custer was a false teacher in the matter of Bible translations. I had heard of that secondhand. I never heard anybody call my pastor a heretic. I was angry. I was emotional. I sought him out immediately. And I said, do you know about this? And he said, oh, yes. I said, are you going to address it? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, why would I? And he just went into the pulpit the next Sunday, opened up the Scriptures, and preached God's Word. And the fact that there were even people attacking his ministry was really not a concern of his. He taught us the Word of God week after week in just an incredible way. Those of you that are part of the Trinity family, I don't think you have any memories of him instructing us on whether we should embrace or reject various theological positions, whichever one you choose, be it dispensationalism, Calvinism, or any other of the isms. He would not use those words. He preferred not to. He would simply say, open up the Scriptures, and whatever there, preach it. I remember my daughter one day, who attended a local Christian school, coming home and saying, Daddy, are we fundamentalists? And that's not a normal question from one of my daughters. And I said, honey, why are you asking? And she said, well, my Bible teacher keeps telling us that we need to be fundamentalists. And I said, okay, so what are you thinking? She said, I never heard Pastor Custer use that word. What does that mean? And we had a wonderful conversation that day about Dr. Custer, his love for the Scripture, and about how he taught. He spoke to us God's Word. And if you were to say, Greg, if you were to think back what he taught you from God's Word, what would come to mind? And five things that I've heard repeatedly from him. No doubt there's many more. You might have others. But he's frequently told us, taught us from the Scriptures that only two things in life matter, God and people, because only two things last forever, God and people. And everything else was secondary at best. He taught us that. He taught us more than once that things were tools. Tools are things to be used for God's glory, but they're only tools. And you use them in this life and you leave them behind. He was not one. If you had a new car or purchased a new home, you would not tell him about it. Because to him, it was like getting a shovel, a hammer, a tool. It was something to be used in the service of God, no more or no less. He taught us that people were pilgrims. I remember many, many years ago, an incredibly long sermon series on Christians or pilgrims. And he, from Genesis to Revelation, going very slowly week after week, would just remind us that this world's not our home. We put our faith in Jesus Christ, we follow Christ, and one day we go to our real home, because that's what pilgrims do. He taught us that heaven is real many years before Randy Alcorn wrote his well-known book. And I can remember so well hearing him preach on heaven. And I don't know exactly why, but for some reason, when other men preached on heaven, it encouraged me. But when Pastor Custer preached on it, it made me want to go there. And he would describe how wonderful it is. And he would help us as a congregation to desire deeply to be there one day with Christ. I said there was five, just one more. He taught me that the church is a hospital and not a museum. And many times difficulties, as in any ministry, would come up. And there would be challenges of all kinds, interpersonal typically, in the congregation. And we would meet, we would talk, and we would pray, and he would remind me, the church is a hospital. It's not a museum. And regardless of what was taking place in a person's life, he was never quick to put anyone down, but he would simply remind us, Greg, this is why we're here. We're here to help people. We're a hospital, not a museum where people allegedly that don't have any problems would come together. The author of Hebrews said, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. And Dr. Custer is certainly one in my life and for many of you in your life who has spoken God's word to you. Now, the examples I've used were primarily from the pulpit, but his ministry was not limited to the pulpit. I often visited him in his home and have fond memories of speaking with him. I want to be frank, we were never buddies. We never hung out, drank coffee, went to motorcycle shops together. But I would visit him, and I was always welcome, and I knew that. I remember very, very early I was working with teens, and it was the first time I had ever been cussed out by a young girl. I'd been cussed out before, but never by a young girl. And she had a drug problem, and she had challenges, and eventually came to know Christ. And I rejoiced in that. But the night I went to her home and visited her, and just tried to share the love of Christ with her, and her response was not encouraging. I left so discouraged that I knew I didn't want to go home, so I drove to Dr. Custer's house. And I still remember coming to the front porch, going inside, knocking on the door. Mrs. Custer opened. She saw me. She could tell I was emotionally a mess. And she simply said, Greg, have a seat. Cried out, Stuart. He came out front. We sat together. He asked me what was going on. I told him. And I can tell you to this day what he told me, because he told it to me more than once. He said, Greg, the reason you're going through this trial is because God has greater trials ahead, and he's preparing you for them. And I always remember thinking, that's not what I wanted to hear. He was not a give you a hug, I feel your pain kind of a guy. But you know what? After I would leave, I would always reflect on what he told me, that God is preparing you for greater trials. And I would think, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Because that was his confidence in God's sovereignty. Pastor Custer believed that nothing was by an accident. That if you were going through a difficult time, it's because God was doing something in your life, so that hopefully by his grace you could serve him more effectively. That was the word of God he spoke to me. And my concern is in me sharing these memories of the one who spoke God's word to me is, you might think, well, he sounds somewhat stoic. No, not at all. Many of you remember how he would frequently enter sermons, frequently with tears rolling down his cheeks. I remember the blessing he was personally, both to me and my family. Every Sunday morning we met for prayer. And especially after the birth of our second daughter, it worked for my wife Nancy and me to have Nancy get our oldest daughter ready, and then the two of us would come to church first, and then Nancy could get the second and eventually the third daughter ready. So many years, my oldest daughter and I, we would come to church together. We would sit in Pastor Custer's office, and we would pray. Now, you don't expect a 2, a 3, a 4-year-old to pray with you, obviously. And so he would have little items in his office, and he had them there for Angela to play with. And he enjoyed pointing that out and letting her play with anything that she wanted. There was one year we had a special vacation Bible school. He loved VBS. And the theme was creation, and we had a lot of animals, including dinosaurs, in his office. In a church, where do you put dinosaurs and other things you want for the last day of VBS, their prizes for the children? Well, it was decided that we would put them in Pastor Custer's office because it's for safekeeping. They can be locked up there. So we would meet together, and before we prayed, Dr. Custer would just say, Angela, would you like to play with any of these? And there was a pink dinosaur that caught her eye. And he would take that pink dinosaur and give it to her. She would play with it. And then we would finish praying. We would leave. And this went on for a number of weeks because, of course, you get your toys for Vacation Bible School a few weeks ahead of time. Well, Vacation Bible School came and went. And all of the toys were distributed to the children as prizes. That's what they were there for. So we came in the next Sunday to Pastor Custer's office. And we sat down. All the toys were gone. And Angela knew that. And Dr. Custer said, Angela, remember that pink dinosaur you like so much? And she said, yes. And he went to his bookshelf and pulled it out and said, I saved it for you. And he gave it to her. You say, is a pastor allowed to take one of the VBS prizes and hide it and give it to a girl? I think he is. And that's been a cherished item in our home for many years. That's the heart that he had for people. That's the kind of person that he was. The Bible says, remember your leaders, Hebrews 13:7, who have spoken God's word to you. And then it goes on. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives. Carefully observe is not a casual glance. It means to give serious thought to. And the text says, carefully observe the outcome of their lives. Now, this verse does not mean the end of their life, okay? In the sense of, think about how they passed away and left this earth. The word end, different translations have it differently. It means the end result or the outcome of their entire life. This verse is saying, remember the men that spoke God's word to you, and carefully pay attention to their entire lives. And what was the result? The result of Pastor Custer's life is that right now he's with Jesus Christ. Remember the context of Hebrews. Hebrews is a letter written to people who say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, but I'm having doubts. Yet there are people like Pastor Custer who went through life continuing to believe in Jesus Christ and persevering in that faith and came to the place where he is now with Jesus Christ. That's what the author of Hebrews wants us to understand. That's what we need to understand, those of us who've been impacted by the life of Pastor Custer. As we think of his entire life, the way that he lived for Jesus Christ and is now with Christ and rejoicing with Christ forever, that puts in perspective many things. How short this life is. How it really is true that there's only two things that matter, God and people. And that all of the other things we are so often tempted to live for are merely tools and they're not worth living for. If you want an example of that, just think of the faith of Pastor Custer, which is why the text says, remember your leaders who have spoken God's word to you. As you carefully observe the outcome of their lives, imitate their faith. He was a brilliant intellectual man. You know this joke. I'm sure many of you who know Pastor Custer, people would say to him, Pastor Custer, is it true that you actually read a book every day? And his eyes would twinkle, and he would say, that is completely false. I never read a book every day. I read a book every night. And he would clarify that. He was intellectually blessed, very gifted, and yet he had a childlike faith. And in his mind, it was very clear, if the scripture taught it, it was true. And that settled the matter for him. Now, you might hear me say words like this and be thinking, Greg, that almost sounds old-fashioned. Well, lest you think it's old-fashioned and overly simplistic, something for a previous generation, may I please remind you of what the very next text of scripture says, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ never changes. What I'm describing for us this morning, faith in Christ, is not something for a previous generation. It's not something that was just relevant for the first century. It's something that's as relevant for us today because Christ never changes. We've just come out of the Christmas season. We celebrate God coming in the flesh, in the incarnation, the person of Jesus Christ, living a perfect life, something none of us could do, dying a perfect death, not only dying, buried, but risen again, ascended into heaven, even right now at the Father's right hand. And the promise of Scripture is if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That was the faith that Dr. Custer preached. That was the faith that Pastor Custer embraced and believed. And I trust that's your faith. If you're someone who maybe you've struggled with times of doubts and discouragement, many people do, can I just remind you that Hebrews was written for someone like you? And the message of Hebrews is remember those who have spoken the word of God to you. Think about their lives. Think about who they put their faith in, Jesus Christ. And imitate their faith. If you're discouraged, even this morning and down, I encourage you with the word of God. Imitate the faith of Pastor Stuart Custer. You may be here because in some way he touched your life or you're related to him or to his family. And yet you've never come to the place where you have repented of sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he died on a cross for you to pay the price of your sin because you're a sinner and you need to be forgiven. Maybe you've never come to that place where you've confessed your sin to Christ and asked him to save you from your sin. You could do that today. And my invitation to you this morning, just as Pastor Custer would make an invitation, is come to Christ. No great closing illustration. No overly emotional appeal. But if you've never come to Christ, come to Christ. Believe the word of God. Believe that the Jesus of the first century is the Jesus of the 21st century. That the Jesus in whom Stuart Custer put faith is the Jesus in whom you must put faith if you are to be forgiven of your sin. And if that would be you this morning, I encourage you, I invite you, come to Christ. And if you have any questions, can I let you know, please contact me, and I would be very, very glad to speak with you and talk to you about having faith in Jesus Christ. And whenever it's my joy to officiate at a funeral like this, I always include that. because it wasn't that many years ago that I was at a pulpit like this, having the honor of presiding at a funeral service, and I made that simple statement. And the day after the funeral, I received an email from a visitor who said, "You were willing to talk to me. Can we talk?" And we began a series of meetings, just two. We had two simple Bible studies, and I watched a person put his faith in Jesus Christ. And that individual is now on his way to heaven, as you can be. That may seem simple. It is simple. But that's the faith of the gospel. That's the faith of Stuart Custer. And I trust, by God's grace, that's your faith as well. We've gathered this morning in loving memory of Pastor Stuart Custer. We opened with a picture of him in his suit and his tie. Many of you, that's your memory of him. That's partially true. But I wanted to end with a different picture, because I knew him much better this way. That's how I remember him, Steve. Somebody who loved Christ, loved people, because those were the only two things that really matter. Those are the only two things that will last forever. That was the faith of my pastor. And I trust, by God's grace, you'll imitate that faith. Let's pray.